Perfect. Well, welcome to Security Guy Radio, and as is 2016. What's your name, sir?
My name is Chris Herdick.
And where are you with?
Well, I'm retired. I was a college professor for 28 years, and now I'm retired, and I do writing and pestering. I'm known as the pester professor. I get people to do things, to write things, and so forth.
Right.
And I
get
I've
people
worked,
to think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a need for that.
Right.
I do a lot of work with the International Foundation for Protection Officers. We're a nonprofit corporation, educational corporation, we're very passionate about teaching and training and professionalizing the forgotten soldiers in the invisible empire of criminal justice, i.e. security officers.
Right.
They need to be professionalized. There can be no homeland security without good security officers. And the needs, particularly because of violence, and the needs because of changing weather patterns and population congestion,
right,
and so forth, it's just making this greater and greater. We need trained security officers.
Well, you know, I travel around the country a lot. I used to work for a couple of guard companies, and one of them had some national accounts around the different states. And, you know, occasionally we want to do business in a state, and we had to go look up all the rules, right? And I'm looking up Kentucky. I want to maybe do business with GE, big manufacturing plant down there. Well, guess what? I didn't even have a guard company license. There was no standards for guard companies. I just had to have a business license, right? And for guards, I think you just had to register, but it wasn't anything formal for training. I was really surprised that it's so different around the country. I think this is one of the problems in the education process, is that we don't have a standard, just a minimum standard in requirement for some of these guys. California has some high requirements, but you know what? I've seen the implementation, and it doesn't always go as well as it says in the book. It looks good on paper, right? But these guys aren't trained, and I feel sorry putting them out there. And I've deployed and hired thousands of guards, literally, at Fox and Disney and mm-hmm. a few guard companies and stuff. And I see the problem across the board. What do you think the number one resistance is to this? I used to think it was money, but I don't think it's money.
You're absolutely right. I thought that it was money, and then I got a little bit smarter, and I realized that a lot of times it was ego.
Okay.
Security director comes in, and they were going to do, I'm going to do my own training program.
Right.
I used to be a nuclear security training administrator, and I'm here to tell you, you're not going to do it. You don't have the time or the expertise or the resources to do it.
Yeah,
it's a full-time endeavor.
Full-time. And teaching is a whole different thing than just managing. Whole different thing, right.
The problem with teaching is the problem with anything. We look at it and we don't see the whole thing. And with teaching, anybody can teach one or two or three things and do a good job of it.
Right.
But when you got to teach a bunch of things, it's a different ballgame, a totally different ballgame.
And get people to retain it. That's the
Absolutely.
Trick.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So I realized that it was egos, and now I think it's even greater. I think it's an incredible degree of discrimination against security officers. It's prejudice and discrimination.
They have a bad image, like the police now do, unfortunately, right? And police didn't used to have that. And the guards have always had that, and I've always found sometimes that the guards are treated poorly by law enforcement, which should be their first ally, by the way, right?
Yes.
Because they're helping them, right? But on the other hand, if the guard isn't given training and the guard isn't perceived as a value, then you can see where some of that stuff comes from. And I think it's really disgraceful that training is not the number one thing we do with security officers.
It's a major, major, major problem. We can't, you know, in my presentation on Wednesday, I'm going to talk about we can't train what we don't understand. And we don't even know how many security officers there are in the United States.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
We don't know.
Yep.
Our best guess is there's 4 security officers for every police officer. But that's a guess.
Yeah.
We don't really have any good sound metrics on that. And we are not going to train that which we don't like. If they're the butt of jokes, if they're on YouTube all the time. Every movie you see, almost every movie.
That's true.
You've got, a doofus security officer.
It's guards throughout history. If the movie's about something in ancient Rome, the guards screwed up that caused the war. It's a classic stereotype. That's just what happens. Yeah, that's true.
And that's terrible. And people need to realize that the first person you go to when you have a crime, fire, or accident problem is most likely a security officer.
More so than police, actually.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because that's kind of, they're closer to you and more familiar. That's right.
And members of the public are slowly coming to that realization. I would say that some people in Congress have started to come to that realization. But, you know, it really is bad. We talk about first responders. Well, you know, if you're having a heart attack, by the time that first responder gets there, you're dead.
Right.
You got about 3 minutes.
And there happens to be a guard that's probably right next door.
It's an initial responder.
Right.
You know, workplace violence. We're talking about violence. Forget about the police. They're probably not going to be there
that's right.
in time. It's really a shame. And I think, and I spoke to Eileen about this, that the police role in these mass shootings, active threats, I call them, the police role should really be one more of helping to train security people and employees and other people about how to deal with shootings, stabbings, and also to help with mental health first aid. You know, when they get there after it's happened.
Well, and how to interact. That's right.
Absolutely.
Now, I think one of the disconnects in here might be this. People equate security and law enforcement as the same thing, one at a higher level, one at a lower level. They're completely different things. And you may disagree, but let's have the conversation. Law enforcement is about responding and not so much prevention. They prevent because they happen to be driving around, but that's not the primary focus, right? It's responding.
Right.
And security is really about a prevention model and less of a responding model because they can respond to a certain degree, then they have to pass it off. But they are first observers and first responders, like you said. Well, no, you call them first...
Initial responders.
Initial responders, yeah, even before the first responders.
Phil Popora calls them the real first responders.
That's right.
But I don't want to aggravate people. Let's just call them initial responders, even though Phil's a great guy.
So... I think that part of this issue is that there's this prejudice, so to speak, like you're talking about, because, you know, those aren't cops. Nobody said they should be. We aren't training them that way. We don't want them to respond that way. All right? So what's the beef? Does law enforcement own security? Because I got to tell you, a few people I know in the FBI that run some corporations can't find their ass with both hands in a flashlight when it comes to security, okay?
Right.
But they're great law enforcement officers.
Right.
Totally different thing. Do you think there's a component there that if we split that idea, we might have a better chance of educating and making that a separate profession? It's so mixed up with security and police that it's the same thing, and it's just not the same thing.
Well, I think people have to realize that there are some key differences, but I think that really we should look for our similarities and share because... For instance, a police department can probably do a great job of teaching a security department how to control traffic.
That's correct. You're right. Good.
I mean, and they could teach them investigation. There's certain things that they can't teach them. And I really think that both can learn from each other.
Yeah.
I really do. You know, and it's an interesting thing, too, because most police officers have been security officers earlier in their career. And a lot of people say that that's kind of a good career progression because in security you have to be the iron fist in the velvet glove. You must be a master diplomat.
Right.
And in policing, maybe not quite as much.
Well, if you were, you tend to go home more.
Right.
If you can mix those two.
And there's some logic to that.
Yeah.
So I think you can learn from each other. And I think security has to be more reactive. And I think policing can be more proactive.
Right.
I've been saying that for years.
Yeah. Well, the technology, we kind of get lost in the human component. And in the end, it's all about humans.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Cameras
absolutely.
Can only do so much. Did you see the robot walking around here? That's kind of cool. The L.A. Barton RoboGuard or whatever it was.
Right.
I think they think that's going to replace guards. They got another thing coming. Chris, thanks for coming on Security Guy Radio.
Sure.
I appreciate it. Got a website or how we can get a hold of you?
Yes, ifpo.org.
And great. Thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Very good.
We'll do another one if you want.